Declaration, actually, correction. Let's do our declaration and then I'll pray. How about that? All right, so stand, set, Bibles, no Bibles, however you like to do it, but we do this all different ways. But let's join with me. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to his spirit. My ears are listening to his voice. My mind will believe what he says, and my voice will declare the truth of his word. Amen? Amen. All right, you may be seated. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. Your presence is here today, and God, I am so excited. I don't know what you have planned, but Lord, do it. Do it right now in Jesus' name. Take control of every single part. God, we love you. We want to hear from you today. We want to be equipped and empowered by you today. And Lord, whatever obstacles, whatever boundary lines or things that are stopping us from stepping into what you want for us, Lord, I pray that they are removed, broken down, shifted, whatever happens. But Lord, we want to say yes to your call, yes to your command right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty. So today we are talking about something that you see in Scripture. It's called grace upon grace. So as we've been in Romans 12, so if you want to go ahead and find Romans 12 and just kind of have it ready, I got little cheat things. Pastor Glenn likes them, but I've got an actual Bible, with me today, and I've got little cheats at the top. And so I'm going to go ahead and turn to Romans 12. We're going to be there, but I want to read something right before I jump into it. And the thing that I love, actually, about the word is the way it all just is interconnected. How is that? Did just people write the word? No, they were inspired of God. They had Holy Spirit inside them, and he knew where every address was. He knew what every word was, regardless of translation that you're using today, and he knew how to weave it all together. And so I'm so excited when I see things in the Word that build up my faith and remind me of his faithfulness, remind me of the truth, and that's what I want to do for you today. So we've been in Romans chapter 12. If you didn't know, we talked about being living sacrifices. We talked about love in action and putting those things to action that Jesus has called us to, because that's showing real love like Jesus did. The one who loves somebody lays down his life for his friends, all of that we've covered. But I want to back up to the section Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. So we're going to get to that in a second. Romans 12, 3 through 8, if you're taking notes. And these are called the grace gifts. So we've covered the gifts in 1 Corinthians 13. Those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. These are the grace gifts. And eventually, we are going to get to the gifts or callings of Jesus in Ephesians 4. So that's where we'll land if you were taking notes or just curious of what we're doing and where we're going. This is all still under our Blueprint series. I think everybody's like, are we still in that? Yes, we're still in that. So we are discovering what it means to be built and transformed like Jesus, doing the things that Jesus did, and we believe that he gave us a blueprint of what that should look and sound and feel like, okay? So that's where we're at. So grace gifts. As I was preparing the message, I came to a point in John 1, also a favorite chapter of mine. So John 1, starting in verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." And I love this because it reminds me that he had a plan at the very beginning. And sometimes we don't remember that. Sometimes we wonder if he just changed course and, oh no, they messed it up. I got to go fix it. But he had this plan from the very beginning. He knew we would mess it up. He knew we couldn't do it. So he already provided a way. Amen? So as I was studying this, something that pops out to me should pop out to you. I'm going to skip over 15. 15 is like a little insert. It's like a little commentary that John adds to it. So the actual context, which is what we're wanting to get to, is found in John chapter 1, verse 14, and then 16 and 17. So we're going to skip over 15. I've already got them on the screen. So here's the continuation of his statement. So he's full of grace and truth. Verse 16, out of his fullness, we have all received grace in place of the grace that is already given. Grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. Jesus is full of grace, and John says that from that fullness, we, John, his original readers, and the rest of all those who have trusted in Christ have received grace and more grace. Some of us need the more grace part. I specifically needed the more grace part. One hallmark of any interaction with Jesus is grace. If you meet Jesus, you've met grace. Christians receive grace and then more grace, grace served on top of grace, grace, and then in place of that, more grace. You got it, right? So the point is that Christ is full of grace, and those who know him get showered in it. All right? I like in Romans 5:20, we're not going to read the whole verse. I'm going to sum it up for you, but look at Romans 5:20 when you have a chance. We see something powerful that agrees with this. It says that sin reigned in death. Sin reigned in death. But grace reigned through righteousness to bring us alive in Jesus Christ. Come on. Romans 5:20. Grace reigned through righteousness to bring us to life in Jesus Christ. Who wants to reign in death? No hands. Zero. I saw a few. You're like, yeah. You know, I mess with them a little bit. Who wants to be reigning in righteousness and life through Jesus Christ? All hands. There we go. Amen. So, now that we've kind of set the stage, that grace upon grace, realizing that if you've met him, that's what you're experiencing in some way, shape, or form. And if you got some grace, get ready because you're about to be showered with grace. And grace. And grace. Okay? Are you with me? All right. So let's check out the gifts of grace in Romans 12. So Romans 12, starting in verse 3. Oh, hey, what do we have there? For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. Come on, somebody. But rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith that God has distributed to each one of you. Judge yourself according to the faith he's given. It's not beat yourself up. It's not, oh, I'm not worthy, what scum I am, you know. He's extended grace. When God the Father looks down, does he see Chris? Does he see Vicky? Does he see Jeremy? Who does he see? Jesus. Come on. I know, right? He's got a little sticky that he taped over the face of me, and he sees Jesus. And he's like, I can't help but be happy. Right? Amen. That's awesome. let me continue here. So I had to just kind of tie on that. Verse 4. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though we are many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Some of y'all need to read that again. What's that say? And each member belongs to all the others. What? I'm in service to you? The answer is yes. Yeah, wow. Hey, so I had this epiphany. It was given to me this morning, so but it was so good. It's really hard to gossip about somebody, amen, talk trash about them, when you're spent serving and praying for them. Amen. Really hard. Those words don't quite come out the same because you're like, oh, you told me to bless them. But you know, I can't help but bless because I want to pray for you. And you're praying for me. And we're mutually locked into that submission to Jesus and each other. And I can't help but bless you. There's no gossip there. No junk there. Because usually, two things happen. Either God shows you and you directly confront that and you deal with it and you communicate as the body of Christ is supposed to do. Or Jesus just flat out says, you're wrong. Change. And then he provides the way to change. But he reveals that. It's like, no. Not them. You. A really quick note on this. Talk to me sometime, I'll tell you the full story. But my grandfather, in a roundabout way, was told by Jesus, this is his words, I've heard this story a billion times. Who's the one offended? Go apologize. What? Who's offended? Well, I guess I am. go apologize. Make it right. That hurts a little bit. We don't like hearing that. We don't like apologizing. I encourage you to get good at it. Practice. Practice on your dog. Practice on your plants. Whatever it takes. But start apologizing and learn how to do that. Because the mark of a Christian that follows the voice of Jesus, that should never be something that's difficult, because he's there with you. So if you get practice and you're ready for it, hey, I would rather come to you quick to repent, quick to respond, because then you know that I really love you. And I want you to know that I really love you. Okay? Verse 6. We have different gifts. What? According to, there it is again, the grace given to us. If your gift is prophecy, then prophesy according to your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, come on, there's some of those out there that you have a knack for this. So what does it say to do? Encourage. If it is giving, please give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. How many of us show mercy, but we don't do it too cheerfully sometimes? Come on. Well, I have to, because Jesus said, but I'm not happy about it, right? We're a work in progress. Do all of us get it perfect? Do we all get it right the first time? By your power, by your strength, help me to do it better every time I do it. Right? Is that what you want? Do you think he can do it? Yeah. All right. I have a really cool little study, knowledge bomb, whatever you want to call it, from Chris Vallotton. This is so good. So check this out. If we look at Paul's language in verse 6, here's the way he says it, and I like this. It takes different flavors of grace to impart different kinds of the Holy Spirit's gifts in us. Yeah. So the language that he's using here is like that of a fountain machine. So you have the carbonated water, and each of the different types of drinks have the syrup that's added in. But each of those are unique. Now, some of us are wild, and we like to go over there and like, all right, I want a little bit of Dr. Pepper, and then I want a little bit of Coke, and then I want a little bit of Sprite, and I just want to mix it all in there. You're okay. We don't know what happened, but it's okay. The other folks just like, I like my Dr. Pepper, and I'm good, right? But just as there's different flavors, and each of us have a knack for that type of flavor, each of us have different gifts. Each of us have different equippings. Each of us have different, just almost innate talents is the way that I would say it, where it's just like, I don't know why this makes sense. I don't know why it just clicks with me, but it does. Well, I'm here to tell you that that's a gift that the Lord's placed in you. And he's probably calling you to utilize that in a greater measure so that he can pour more of that in you. Are you with me? Yeah. Okay, so that's the flavors part. So, different flavors of grace impart different kinds of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in each of us. In other words, grace is not just undeserved favor, it is also the operational power of God. And it is the grace of God that gives us those supernatural abilities in Christ. Amen? Amen. Because he wants to see us saved. He wants to see us transformed. So he extends more of that to us. The proportion of our faith determines the level or amount of grace we receive, and hence the strength of our gifts. I know some of your story. I know my story. And every step that we took in a yes, saying yes to what God's calling us to do, by faith, he gives more. Can I get some hands approving and agreeing that as I stepped out into that, God gave me more? So it's there. What's the key? Starts with the word, the letter F. No. Yes. But it's faith. I believe you so I can trust you. And because I trust you, and you're trustworthy. You speak the words of truth. What does the Holy Spirit do? Guides us into truth. I can trust you. Are you with me? And to Paul's point, submission is very key to that. I would dare say that came first, then faith. So here's a couple thoughts that I want to share with you. This is one of those, and I say this from time to time, but if you get nothing else, this is what I hope you get. I believe this was from Jesus. So here's the way he said it to me. For some of us, God is asking you to serve before you lead. Now, I believe this is a conundrum, and here's why. Most people don't know that as a leader, you're the biggest servant. You actually serve more. You graduate from serving a little bit to serving a whole lot now. So if anybody's told you otherwise, they were lying to you. Maybe not intentionally, but they were. So I believe you should be the biggest servant. Now, it's kind of difficult to hear when you're like, man, but I just feel like I can lead better. Or I feel like I've just got these abilities. You probably wouldn't use this language, but you think you're the boss. I believe that comes from somewhere. I don't believe it's just your ego. I believe you have those gifts, but every gift has a process flow of how you get there. Let me give you an example. Joseph. What did Joseph do? He's like, hey, so listen, I had this dream, and all of you jokers were bowing to me. He probably didn't land the delivery very well because he made all of them mad. So he could use some skill in speaking. Well, guess what the Lord did? He gave him plenty of opportunities to learn what it meant to serve, and gradually through that process, he taught him how to lead. So that when it was time, he was a fantastic leader, led by the Spirit of God. So much so that the Pharaoh said to him, I know the Spirit of God is in you. You interpret my dreams. In fact, hey, how about this? Aside from everybody else in the kingdom other than me, you're in charge. It's me and you, buddy. The only one who can undo or override you is me. And I'm not going to do that because the Spirit of God is in you, right? That's effectively what he was saying. And Joseph did all this stuff to get them through the famine, to set them up for success. And it was so impactful that there were a number of years that went by. And it wasn't until everybody forgot the story that all the things started to fall apart. And they're like, we don't remember Joseph. Don't even know who that is. Doesn't matter. We're going to all throw you in this land. And then the things started happening, right? So God takes you through the process. If you feel like you're called to lead, well, there's probably some things that you can learn along the way, right? Yeah. Okay. Here's the flip side. I like this one. For others, you've become comfortable or you've become safe, feeling like you're in a safe spot, doing what you've been doing, and God is ready to promote you to the next task or level. But you, come on, you try to stop them or convince them of all the ways that you're not ready. You try to convince them of all the ways that you're not ready. Come on, I know there's more of us in this room. Let me give you an example. We have Joshua. Joshua has been hanging out with Moses. So much to the point that Joshua was one of the first ones to get to see all this stuff, so that's cool in and of itself. But as the Spirit of God would fall in the tabernacle, everyone else would disperse, but Joshua hung out. He remained. Almost as if to say, I'm on guard. Almost as if to say, I shared the scripture again this week because, man, it's just been on my mind. But that doorkeeper in the house of the Lord talk that we were talking about, blessed is the name of the Lord, right? He wanted to remain there. He wanted to greet and he wanted to say farewell to the Lord. See you in a little bit, right? It's like, I want to see you when you're coming. I want to see you when you're going. That's me. That was Joshua. That was his comfortable space. But then he told Joshua specifically, Moses is gone to be with me now. You're in charge. And what happened? All the ways I can't do this. I want you to go back to Joshua chapter 6 and count all the times that the Lord said, be strong and courageous. Hint, it wasn't one time. But there are those of us who need to hear that. I've told you to be strong and courageous. I've given you my Holy Spirit. You've known the call that I've had for you. It's been baking in you. It's been cooking. And guess what? I just heard the ding of the oven. It's time. It's time. Because if you stay in there any longer, you're going to get burnt. And nobody likes burnt cake, right? Anybody? A little crispy, but not burnt, right? Maybe just me. So if you're in here and you're in this boat, I just want to speak a word of encouragement to you right now. Jesus has called you. He's prepared you. He's deposited something in your heart that you've been stewarding and you've been walking with him in. And there are times that he's going to elevate you to the next place. And as you're faithful in that stewardship, you're faithful in obedience to him, he's going to do it again and again and again and again. If you haven't read this book, I highly, highly recommend it. It will rock your world. So Chris warned you. I'm dead serious. It's a lot. And I like a lot of this stuff, but even I was munching on it for probably a good 6 months. But it's called Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. It's a little older, but there's an audiobook version. And if you have not read the audiobook version, please do. They have, and I like stuff like this, but they have the characters, different characters all do different voices. And for me, I'm a visual guy, and I like stories and imagination and all that. So it really helps me visualize what's going on and makes it really real. Like, I can tell you a whole lot about the book just on memory, and I haven't picked it up in probably a year just because of that, the way my mind works visually. So if you're a visual person, audiobook is highly recommended. In fact, I'll do you one better. Let me know that you want to read it. I'll send it to you, and if you've never done it before, you get it for free. How about that? But if you have... you know, you're a reader, you like to read things 50 times and highlight them, I'll send you the book link as well. Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. And for those Lord of the Rings fans, man, it has that vibe to it when it gets to the little story part. Super cool. Driven by Eternity. Very awesome. But one of the things I wanted to say, the reason why that came to mind is there's a portion in the story. Now, please understand this is not God's word, so this is a person's interpretation of the word. You have to hear that part of it, but it's still something that I think is very aligned with the truth. It's almost kind of like what Paul said, where he's like, this wasn't from the Lord, but someone who hears the Lord and follows his will, I feel this is true kind of statement. So he has a portion in there where as they're called to heaven and they're before the judgment seat of Christ, as Jesus tells them this good and well done, good and faithful servant that we're about to get into, I'm teasing my next part, he actually puts them in charge of things. And it was according to their faithfulness on earth. It was according to the ways that they followed him on earth, and those skills that they acquired and learned by walking with him were the skills that they would use forever in eternity. And when you think about it that way, it's like, oh man, I'm getting OJT, on-the-job training, right now. I can mess up. I can learn as I go, because we're not there yet. It's not eternity. So if you think about it that way, which I do, I want to do all the things here to get all that experience and learn how not to do something and have that grace extended and all that before I get there and before I'm entrusted with something. Can you hear that today? That was an absolute freebie. It's not in any of my notes, so take that for what you will. So, Driven by Eternity, John Bevere. All right, next point. When Jesus sent out the 12, and this is for you, especially if you're in either of those categories that we just talked about. When Jesus sent the 12, he gave them authority to do what he did and more. We'll get to that later. But he said, freely give. Matthew 10:7-8. He says, as you go, because you're going to go, as you go, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. How near? In our hearts, FYI. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy and drive out demons. Did you know all that is encompassed in the healing part? You may not realize that or not, but healing encompasses all that, if you were curious. Freely you have received, so freely give. Don't hesitate. Okay? So here's my question for this section. Who are we to withhold any good thing from those we can give to on behalf of Jesus? Don't do it. Don't do it. All you have to say, whether it's out loud or in your heart, I'm doing this for you, Lord. Help me to be faithful. And if you get the opportunity to tell them who it's from, please do. Hey, this is from Jesus. I just felt that he wanted this for you. I'll keep it really vague, but I have to share this story because it just came to mind. But we went to a restaurant one evening. It's kind of late. I think it was after a long day. And so we sort of hoped we could get a table, but it was kind of one of those that's like, okay, it was late enough and busy enough on whatever day that was that it was kind of like, we'll see. And so we go, and oh my goodness, they were so busy. It was bad. And the guy up front, I didn't know he was the manager at the time, but he was like, yeah, so we're trying to train some people, and we do not have the help. So if you want to wait, you guys are probably going to be waiting like maybe 45 minutes, like no joke. You know how they sometimes tell you that, and you're like, it's going to move faster? It was not one of those. It was like, all right, do we want to be here for 45 minutes? Like, really? And something inside of me just said, you need to pray for him. And I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, yes. And you know, when you're hungry and you're cranky, you're like, was that my stomach? Or was that, you know, like, which one is it? You had to quickly do the little processing. And I didn't know, it was definitely Jesus. So I was like, all right, this may freak everybody out, but let's do it. So I walked over to the guy and I asked him his name. His name was Josh. And I said, Josh, I feel that I need to pray for you. Is that okay? And like, split second response, yes, please. So I'm like, cool, all right. Step one is good. I prayed for him. I asked God to bless his business. I asked God to give them workers. I asked God to just take care of all that. And Josh said, hey, so I'm the general manager here, and that's fantastic. Thank you so much. The next time you come in, what's your name? I said, Chris. He said, Chris, what kind of food do you like? And he basically took my order. And he said, I want you to tell them that the manager said that when you come back, you get all that for free. It's on me. Now, I didn't do it for the hookup. I had no clue. I honestly didn't want to do it if you were following the process a little bit. But I did it because I felt like, well, I like this place. We've prayed for other places and wanted them blessed, and we enjoy them. We go there, so we don't want it to be terrible, right? We want it to be cooked well and managed well, and I want them to be blessed. So it wasn't a hard prayer to pray. It was just one of those times where you're like, really? Right now? Seriously? I'm starving. Like, come on, you know? And nonetheless, I say all that to say, who are we to withhold anything? God said pray for them. God said bless them. I don't know the last time you went to church. I didn't talk about that with Jesus. Jesus says, I want to bless this man, ask him for his name, and pronounce the blessing that I tell you. Amen. So that's what we did. Okay? And I, like I said, I love the fact that he was like, yes, please. Like, immediately. It was so cool. So that's kind of what that might look like for you. So don't withhold it. Say, Jesus wants me to pray for you. That's the way I said it. All right, I'm going to wrap this part up fairly quickly because we've heard the story, but go with me. This is the other part of our message. So 2 points today. How can we grow our gifts? And I believe that Jesus taught us how to grow our gifts through a parable. This parable is specifically the parable of the talents. I don't know what your version says. This one was kind of interesting. Listen to what this one is called. This one's called the parable of the bags of gold. I haven't heard it called that yet, so I thought it was funny. But mine calls it the parable of the bags of gold. I want to explain something about this, though, and I had a few notes. I may or may not use them. I'll just keep them in vision here. But this parable is not all about money. So I need you to hear that. First thing, yes, it talks about money. It's the way to kind of get to them and get them focused. And they're like, oh, Lord, he's talking about our wallet again. What's he going to say? So they kind of perked up. But it's not only about money. So let's read it together and kind of walk through it. But I believe he's teaching us some principles here that if we do not use what we have, even what we do have will be taken away. And it's not just money. Hear that. Okay. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 14, I'm going to read this in New Living. I believe we have it up on the screen. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, or gold, whatever you want to call it. It's a bag of money. Bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. I need you to really focus on that. Write that down, underline it in your Bible, whatever it is, highlight it in your Bible app. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. Your version says something like that, but he's looking at you. You have a measure of faith that you are given, and as you work for him, your calling or your job, your focus, your role will be based on that measure of faith that's been applied to you. Some of us, to believe Jesus, needed a big fat measure, but it doesn't make you any more or less special than someone who needed a little bit to trust him. Can you hear that today? All right, so according to their proportion to their abilities. So for all we know, the guy that received the big 5 bags of silver may have had the tiniest faith possible to believe Jesus because he's just like, I believe you. And then the guy that received 1 may have been, you know, forgiven of all this and it's like, okay, now I believe you, right? It doesn't matter. All he's saying is he gave in proportion to their faith. Are you with me today? Okay. Verse 16. The servant who received 5 bags of silver started to invest the money, and he earned 5 more. All right, quick math. How much does he have? 10. Cool. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work, and he earned 2 more. How many does he have? All right, we're doing good today. But the servant who received 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. How many bags of silver does this man have?
1.
All right. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Verse 20, the servant whom he had entrusted 5 bags came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more. The master was full of praise. This is what I want, y'all. I think we can all say, can we be one of the other two? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So do some research. It was not a small amount, but he's saying it's a small amount. So that kind of gives you a picture that the Lord our God has all kinds of stuff. So this was little to him. So now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. That's where Driven by Eternity gets this interesting. This is at the end, not beginning of his life. This is at the end of the story in this parable, metaphorically, if you can go with me here. So he's inviting them into the kingdom of heaven, saying he's going to give them more responsibility. Now let's go celebrate together. When does the celebration happen? At the beginning or the end? The end. All right. That's where we're going. The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I have earned 2 more. The master said, Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling this small amount, so I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. Now, I don't know about you. I know none of us want to be this guy, but often we are this guy. Because we can empathize, we can agree with the fact, I don't want to lose his money. I don't want to mess it up. Gosh, life for people today is hard enough as is. I don't want to make it worse, right? We've all said something of that flavor at some point in our life. We've been this man. So what I believe the Lord is asking you to do, and we're gonna finish the story in just a second, but I need you to find that metaphorical shovel, go out into your backyard or wherever you've put it, dig that thing up, and go put it to work. Amen. Can you do that? Yeah. Okay, the Lord heard you. So let's conclude the story. Verse 26, but the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. Then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give to the one with 10 bags of silver. There's a whole lot there. So dude with 10 bags of silver. Yeah. To those who use well what they are given. Remember, this is not just money. Hear this. Verse 29. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. Who wants abundance? But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. The words in the Bible that I hope none of us ever hear. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. He's a good, good father. He's very patient. So this word is timely, because maybe you are the servant who hid it, who buried it away, who didn't think you were good enough or ready or capable, or insert your excuse there. But he's calling you now. He's saying, it is my desire for each and every one of you present to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. It is his desire to bless you with abundance and more responsibility, more blessings, more things to take charge of, because you've been faithful. So let's step forward and say yes and be faithful. Amen? By the power of Jesus, I will do better as I walk with you day by day by day. Amen? So the key to growing your gift is faithfulness. The two men that earned more were faithful. Lord, help us to be faithful. All right, I want to close with I call this my non-comprehensive list, so hopefully that gives you a little bit of joy this morning, that he won't go on for a while. So here's my non-comprehensive list, so please pray and feel free to add to yours if needed. Here's what I believe Jesus wants us to do as we are faithful. He wants us to be faithful with what he has entrusted to us, right? So don't let yourself lose humility. We're reminded in the scriptures, reminded in Job and various other places, he gives and takes away. He gives and takes away. Don't lose humility. Romans 12 started with that humility, so keep it. Next one, you're practicing for eternity, but you're not perfect. Learn from every success, but most importantly, learn from every failure. You're going to like this one. Say yes to every opportunity. ... The Lord gives. Gotcha. If you're not sure, ask him. Not saying yes to everyone. Yes to the Lord on everyone. Right? Amen. He knows what you can handle, and he's not going to give you more than he can't provide the grace and equipping to fulfill. That's the correct way to interpret that, by the way. All right. And here's my last one in my non-comprehensive list. Put your gift to practice. You'll quickly find out what works and what doesn't. Come on. And here's what I think is most important. Most important in putting into practice is to find out your style and your flow. What do I mean by that? What's unique to you? You are unique. You have a specific call, a specific identity to your gift. Otherwise, he would have said, all right, Chris, you got it all. And I'd say, no, right? I've got my part and you've got your part. And the best thing about it is yours might not look anything at all like mine or like Stephen's or like Paul's. And that's okay. In fact, it's encouraged. It doesn't need to look like everybody else's. I have to give you one more definition, and then we're done. No, I need to give you definition and story. Okay. Quick story, quickly. I was at an event. I'll leave it at that just to kind of keep it vague, so I don't want to upset anybody. But I was at an event, and I started walking around. It was not anything I was leading or doing anything like that. So I started walking around. I just felt led to pray. I'm praying, and this weird word comes to mind. I haven't used this word in probably my entire life since school and all that. He said, inert. What'd you call me? No. I said, okay, that's odd. He said, I know, look it up. So I immediately sat down, you know, still praying, kind of in that mindset of prayer, if that makes sense to you, pulled out my phone and I looked it up. Got a lot of definitions here, but the one that really stuck with me, I'm only going to read this one to keep it short. Look up inert. But he says, it implies immobility or lack of normally expected response to an external force or influence, and often suggests deliberate submissiveness or self-control. I said, what's going on? And I was immediately drawn to the thought of a person whom I love very, very much. And I know the Lord loves very, very much. And this person was hurt by the church. And I called this person a while back and asked him to help me with something. And we caught up and hadn't talked in a little bit, but we go to lunch and talk often. And I said, man, I need your help. And God just put you on my heart to call you, so I wanted to call you and check in and see if this is the way he gets you back in. And he said, Chris, and I'm going to keep this vague too. He said, Chris, I haven't done that thing since I left the church. And as the Lord reminded me of this, I was a little bit grieved. And I just said, man, all the gifts that are resident in this person, that hurts, Lord. He said, yeah, I know. Very aware of that. And so I was sort of in a place where I was upset. I didn't know what to do. And he says, now you know what to pray for, right? Mile of cars in Norman. Some of y'all get that inside joke. But he gave me specifics. He told me what and how and who to pray for. And I wasn't even asking for y'all. I was just like, Lord, bless this event, bless the people, you know, all this stuff. I was not thinking about a specific person or their gifts or otherwise. I mean, I guess I sort of was for the message, but that's what he told me. Instead of being immobile or lacking the power to move, which is one of our definitions, he wants us to move by his power, by his equipping. And I can't think of all, I mean, probably too many to count, all the times that I fell into that place where I was lacking mobility. I couldn't get my feet to move, or sometimes I didn't want my feet to move because I was afraid of the thing that he was asking me to do. I don't want to do that. That's scary. People hate those guys, right? But we do it anyway. Because most importantly, and I've shared this with you, you guys know me, so this is within my character. I want to do everything he asked me to do. Regardless of what happens. So today, I have just one question. And I hope everybody can answer this wholeheartedly. But would you stand with me? If you want to follow the Lord closer, more faithful, more obedient in every way than you did yesterday or today when you got up this morning, can you raise your hand? And if you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus or the confidence of your relationship with Jesus, all these hands are raised with you. So go ahead and poke your hand up there too. So no shame, no fear, no worry. And we're going to pray a prayer together that I don't think is bad for all of us to pray very often. Amen? Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Take it, form it and fashion it according to the purpose in your heart. Whether you tell me or whether you don't, I say yes to you. Thank you, Jesus. Grow me and mold me among my brothers and sisters to be an equipping and supportive part of this body. In Jesus' name, amen.